Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to BLT, Business, Life, Transitions, the show that explores all the latest trends in your business, life, and our favorite topic, transitions. Hosted by Brian Basilico, the Director of Direction with B2B Interactive Marketing, and Jan Marino, CEO of High Gain Companies, Inc. And now it's time for some insightful conversation and interviews with your hosts, Brian and Jan.
Good morning, Jan. How are you?
I'm really good, Brian. How about you?
I am just fantastic. How's that?
That's good. Yeah. And I'm really, I hate to say this about our friends on the East Coast, but I'm really glad that I'm not there.
I'm with you 110%.
That just looks nasty.
It does. Yeah, I've been watching on the news. No, thank you. I don't want to deal with that. Don't want to shovel it. I am very happy just to sit here in a little bit of cold weather with a little dusting of snow. So that's not so bad. So what's new and exciting in your world?
Well, I'm still getting ready. No, we're going to launch the reinventionchronicles.com. Officially launch it. It's available right now, the reinventionchronicles.com website, which is for people who are in the throes of reinventing themselves and businesses who are in the throes of reinventing themselves. So I just saw a real need for some information, some resource, and some platform for people to be able to talk about and learn about, here's how I reinvent myself and my business. And I think 2015 is going to be the year that a lot of people are going to be doing that, because the economy is picking up, and we do have more disposable income, and we are loosening our budgets a bit and looking at the number one fact is that people don't want to be sold to anymore. People want to be educated, and they want you to be a resource for them, and then that's why they buy from you, which I think is a different approach than we've used in the past. And so that takes reinvention on the side of everybody to understand that.
I love
concept.
That. I love that.
It's so true.
And I got a great idea for you. Here's what you need to do. On the homepage, you need to put a button that links to our podcast on iTunes. What do you think?
Yes, I think that's brilliant. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You are so welcome.
Thank you. Well, that's essentially what I do. You know, every single week is I do, not only do we do this, but then I've got another podcast called My Marketing Magnet. And
right.
I do two things in it. I mean, the first, it's actually in reverse order of how it's presented, but I do the interview with experts all across the country. And most of these people have made millions doing what they do. The majority mm-hmm. of them have. If not, they're very strong thousandaires. You know, but then the other side of the coin is then I use that knowledge to do an educational one, and then so I put up, you know, me talking about kind of more of a how-to, and then they kind of give us a little bit more of the why-to. And let's see, this week I did podcasts, so how to do a podcast.
Uh-huh.
Got a great interview for next week about using virtual assistants, which I think is something that's relatively new and different to people.
Right.
And that's pretty much what I'm trying to do is show people there's a different way of running their business.
Right. And if people can understand what the options that are available to them, and we can educate them on, you know, here's the experiences I've had, and here's the experience other people have had. And like we were saying, or I was saying earlier off the air, all of this always takes consistency on our part to continue to put that information out there and that message out there in an interesting and readable way, because people are bombarded with information all the time. And they're looking for somebody that that they can trust, even though they have never met us in person. And that, again, is a, you know, it's a different kind of sales. And so you really have to build up your credibility, you have to build up your visibility, and you have to build up your personness. That's what I call it. It's like I'm a real person. You know, I'm sitting at my kitchen table right now in my pajamas doing a radio show. But I am a real person.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, it takes, you know, it takes time. It just literally takes time. I mean, this show actually in about a month is going to be our one-year anniversary. The 3rd of March will be 1 year that we've been doing the show every single week. That's 52 episodes. How's that?
Yeah, that's fabulous. Congratulations to us.
Yes,
and
exactly.
To the audience for sticking with us, because we've got a good audience. So
yes,
we do.
We've got a great audience.
Yep, and we want to hear from our audience as to, you know, who would you like to see on here and that kind of thing. So.
No, absolutely. And,
right.
And you know, also, you've got to give a lot of, you know, a lot of kudos to our guests, because, I mean, we have some just incredible guests come on, and you know, they're all full of great information, and, you know, it's amazing how they share their knowledge with people, and, you know, we really love that. Speaking of guests, I believe Diana Williams is here with us this morning. Hi, Diana.
Hey, good morning. How are you, Brian? How are you, Jan?
I'm good. How are you, Diana?
Good, thank you. Happy early anniversary.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks. So I contacted you through LinkedIn, and I was very intrigued by your background and by the fact that you have gone through several iterations of career reinventions, and so that's why I thought it would be interesting for you to come on and talk to us about how you did that. Because as I recall, you started out, I think, in asset management or marketing, right?
I actually started out in retail banking.
Okay.
So I was working with a local bank here called Oak Brook Bank. Started out right out of school as a management trainee, and kind of worked my way up the ranks there, and left that position. I was the vice president of retail operations, so made sure that all our branch banking system was following procedures. I also deployed our ATM network and did some auditing and things of that nature.
Okay, good. And then what happened when you moved? Where did you go next?
So I that bank was in probably a good position to be sold, because that was the time when the banking business was booming and every bank was buying up all the littler banks, and we had just reached $1 billion. So that always kind of increases the appetite of the larger players in the market when a bank reaches that size, that would be good for acquisition. So I decided to make a career move at that point and try to join the bigger fish in the marketplace. So I signed on with Fifth Third Bank, which was just recently at that time penetrating the Chicago market.
Right.
And opened up the branch banking system in the financial district of Chicago, which was very interesting. Different clientele altogether than I had experienced out in the suburbs, because I was dealing with more sophisticated investors. I was dealing with the traders at, you know, the Chicago Board of Trade and such. So it was a different niche to fill as far as having to have more sophisticated products and services. I enjoyed
Great.
That position. Yeah, I enjoyed that position, but decided I wanted to take my knowledge and kind of keep moving and keep developing. And I joined another company, and it was, and this is all in the span of about 12 years. So I did stay at the positions, you know, for a while and really develop in the positions. But then I decided to go work for a company called Radden Financial Group. And I actually did consulting for banks and credit unions, which I really, really enjoyed. It was my turn to kind of play, if you will, with the C-level representatives in the banking industry and consult with them on ways that they could increase their return on assets and better ways to market themselves in a very competitive marketplace. And I did that up until the time my first child was born. And I had all intentions of returning to work because I just couldn't understand how women could stay home with their kids. Mm-hmm. That wasn't me. I had had a booming career and very successful. So my intention was to have my first child and return to the workplace. But as we all know, life doesn't always turn out the way we expect. My first son was born and within 4 weeks became very ill and faced a life-threatening surgery. And that kind of brought my world to a halt. And really had me reevaluate what I hold dear and near and what my values truly were at that time. So I made the very difficult decision to stay home then with my son and kind of give up my career for a while, if you will. So,
go ahead. Just from a perspective of, you know, what you thought you were going to do and what actually happened, you know, what would be your advice to women who face this and they face it by, you know, it may not be that their son is ill. It may be that, you know, you find that you think about who's going to raise my kids and what's that going to look like. Is that something that you went through?
Absolutely. It's a tough decision. I have family members that are completely career oriented in very high positions of well-known companies who have had, you know, who have made the very, very tough decision to have, you know, someone come in to help them raise their children. And it's such a tough decision for women, especially nowadays, because I almost feel like with the cost of childcare, a woman needs to have a position in which the return of her going to work is actually going to offset,
mm-hmm.
you know, the return of childcare. So right there, you know, a woman might love her career and love what she's doing, but, you know, maybe it's not the career that's, you know, putting six figures in the bank, but she loves it. It's a difficult
right.
decision when she might be faced with giving that up because, you know, childcare has become so, so costly.
Yeah.
And to the woman that decides, you know, to continue on with her career after she has kids, it's hard because you're still in that mom role, and I know dads do such a terrific job of, you know, co-parenting and being a more active player in their children's lives. And there's a lot of
mm-hmm.
stay-at-home dads as well.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes kids just want mom. And, you know, mom has kind of a gamut of things that she has to do. And those things don't go away because you go back to work. So a woman is faced with, how am I going to fit this all in? How am I going to multitask? And I just think that has created a whole workforce of women, even if they're out of the workforce, and then they decide to enter back into the workforce. Employers need to realize that these women that have stayed at home are the ultimate multitaskers nowadays. And that is something that can't be taught. That's something that's developed. And I feel like employers should, you know, not discount stay-at-home moms when they're looking to re-enter the workplace because
mm-hmm.
they've been out for so long. Because to me now, and experiencing what I have, and I've been at home with my sons for 8 years now, it's the toughest job I ever had.
Right. Right, and it's an insult to say to a professional mom who is staying home with her kids, well, you know, you haven't had any experience, and I don't know about you, but I'm just like, I don't want to work at this place if that's the attitude you have, because you haven't a clue as to what the real world is about.
Exactly, exactly.
What planet have you been?
Exactly. I'm multitasking as we speak. I'm sitting, you know, in the parking lot of my health club so I can catch a class later, and I have my 4-year-old with me trying to keep him quiet on the iPad. You know,
exactly.
While it's always multitasking. And I decided while I was home with my kids, just kind of having the personality that I have, that I need something in addition, because
yes.
You know, I can never juggle enough plates. So I always like to throw more plates in my juggling act. So I decided to look in to see what kind of non-for-profit work that I could do in my community that would be a little bit more flexible in time management and allow me to do things in the evening time or maybe even on my own time. So my choice, you know, while I'm raising my kids here, and I send my littlest to kindergarten in the fall, so this may change. I might decide to go back and, you know, enter the traditional workforce. But
mm-hmm.
my choice while I've been home with the kids is to do non-for-profit work and use my talents that way in leadership skills. And it's very, very gratifying, especially having kids, because you see the direct impact you make in the community, in these
yeah.
organizations that do such a terrific job helping low-income families or, you know, women's interest groups or, you know, things to help children. It's a great
mm-hmm.
experience.
So what nonprofit do you work for now?
So I am currently the immediate past president of the Naperville Junior Women's Club, which
right.
is part of the Greater Federation of Women's Clubs. It's a club that has been around in this community for many, many years and has done some great things. We've partnered with various non-for-profit organizations throughout the years and provided them financial assistance through our fundraising work. So doing different events that would help raise awareness and raise money for different causes. We're currently partnering with Kids Matter, which
mm-hmm.
Is also in Naperville, but their footprint leads throughout the community here in the western suburbs. And particularly in our community here, we have been hit by the heroin epidemic for
mm-hmm.
a lot of the higher income high school children. And
now you said heroin, right?
Heroin, yes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yes. That
Which
is what
scary.
I thought.
Very, very
yeah,
scary.
It's so scary, because these some of the kids that kind of travel down that path are, you know, they've had terrific upbringing and
mm-hmm.
You know, they're not inner city kids. They're normal, you know, suburban kids that have a good life that just made one wrong decision, and that led them down a different life path. And there's been, you know, several deaths in this area
mm-hmm.
because of that. So this
right.
Matter organization was formed and needed to get out there, needed to get into the schools and get in front of the kids to teach them to make responsible choices and how to deal with some of the things they're facing. They're key multitaskers too. We think of ourselves, you know, as parents, yeah, we're always juggling different plates, but we've kind of forced that on our kids nowadays. And kids are faced with, you know, having to keep up academically and play all the sports and be in different clubs and such. And I don't know about you, but I wasn't faced with all that when I was younger. You know, we went to school,
mm-hmm.
we played outside, we might
mm-hmm.
have done a sport or something like that. But these kids now have so much pressure on them. And I feel like sometimes that just gets to be too much, so they look for different outlets. And a lot of times
yeah.
those outlets are unhealthy choices for them.
Yeah.
So Kids Matter kind of gets in front of kids, and parents too. There's Parents Matter too, and that's a great
right.
group, because it teaches parents to talk with one another and kind of be the sounding board and how to deal with some of the situations that parents are faced with today. So so right now, those are the two non-for-profits that I'm really dedicating my time to. Naperville Junior Women's Club has a big fundraiser coming up on March 8th. It's our fashion show fundraiser. And you could visit NapervilleJuniorWomen'sClub.org to find out about that. But it's a terrific fundraiser for us, because it helps us continue to support so many non-for-profits in the community and get out there.
Good, good. Brian, do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, I do. Can you tell me a little bit what it's like going from, you know, the working world to the nonprofit world, and, you know, how do you find, you know, how do you keep yourself fulfilled by doing something like that? Because I get it. I think our audience may want to know that.
Yeah, so it's very challenging because when you're in the corporate world, there's corporate structures, and there is kind of, you know, expectations and different hierarchy. And when you enter in the non-for-profit world, there's not all those marketing dollars, first of all, to put your organization's name out there. So you have to be very creative in your marketing. And thankfully, I would say with the increase of social media nowadays, it's gotten a little bit easier for non-for-profits to do that. So there's the marketing challenge for non-for-profits, and then there's also just the challenge of volunteers. You know, I speak as we're all very busy, and we all lead, you know, kind of crazy lives. So it's a special group of people nowadays that set aside time for volunteering and for non-for-profit work. So you're kind of faced with dealing with a small population of people to help you out in your matter. And then, you know, it's that 80-20 rule that, 80% of the people within an organization, you know, they help, but they have a
right.
lot of different things going on. So it's that 20% that
right.
is really working to keep things afloat.
Right.
So with that 20% working, that doesn't always leave a lot of time to help develop leadership and talent
mm-hmm.
within the organization.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I would say that's the greatest difference, I feel like, between corporate world and non-for-profit world is non-for-profit, you're dealing with a smaller pool, and we're in corporations, you know, you have performance reviews, you have different enrichment programs and training that a company may send you to. You don't have that in the non-for-profit world. So you have to figure out how you're still going to keep your mission going forward and take time out to make sure that you're developing the talent that's within your membership. And meeting kind of their goals in satisfying the reason that they got involved with the non-for-profit while keeping things going forward.
Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to fire volunteers.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, there's always that too. I mean, there's, you know, people are people and people have different personalities. So you have to adapt or try to adapt the best way that you can to work with all, you know, all different types of people and their personalities and their ideas. And you know, even if you don't, you know, particularly love the person you're working with, you still have that mutual respect that you're working for the same cause, and you have to find a way to just work together and push forward.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
So we've got about 5 minutes left. Is there any other stories that you'd like to tell us in the last few minutes that may help our listeners?
Yeah, sure. I would maybe just a call out to really take a look at your life in 2015. And I know everyone talks about New Year's resolutions and what's important to them. And, you know, I said I'm sitting here in the parking lot of a health because, you know, I've made that resolution to try to get a little bit more healthy this year and take care of me. But look at your life. And I always say you make time for what's important to you. And I just kind of challenge everyone to take a look and think about what's important to you. So maybe it's kids' causes. Maybe it's education. Maybe it's animals. But think about what things you value and what's important to you. And then go on the computer and do a search and think of ways and look for ways that you could get involved with your community. Because, you know, our crazy lives, we always have a little bit more room if we want to fit something in. And nonprofit work and volunteering is so important, and it's so personally gratifying that, yes, listeners may think, oh, it's going to be one more thing on my plate, but it's going to be one more thing on your plate that you enjoy and that really makes a difference to someone on the other end. You may mm-hmm. never know who that person is, but it's going to make a difference in someone's life, or it's going to make a difference in a dog or a puppy's life or a kid's life or an older person's life, you know, a senior citizen's life. And it's so very important. So, you know, try to take a look. Try to make a little bit more time and get out there and volunteer and help your community.
That is such sage advice, because it's so, so, so true. And you put it very eloquently, so we appreciate that, Diana.
Mm-hmm. Well, this has been great fun, and you guys are just doing a great service to your listeners out there, because it is hard, and people face all different kinds of career challenges and life transition challenges. So the fact that they have your show to tune into as a resource is a really great service. And so you found your niche and you found your calling, because you're out there helping people on the other end, and you might not even know who those people are, but you are out there helping. So kudos to the both of you.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that.
Ditto here. So, hey, Diane, if people wanted to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, so I could give you my email. It's Diana Dionne. So it's DianaDionne at yahoo.com. And I welcome
awesome.
Any emails or questions.
Great.
Awesome.
Great.
So
thanks so much for
well,
coming on, Diana.
Thank you. Thank you for having me this morning.
Yeah, we certainly appreciate it. Great insights and just love what you're doing. I mean, we're both very big into volunteering and all this kind of stuff. And so we really appreciate your insights on this interview.
That's terrific. Continue to success to both of you.
Thank you, Diana.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good day.
Okay. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. So that was an awesome perspective. I love that.
When she was talking, I've had this idea, because I have several friends who have been professional moms. They've raised their
mm-hmm.
kids, and now they're getting back into the workforce, and they are being totally ignored. They are being marginalized. They are being insulted. And I keep
mm-hmm.
telling them, okay, a different approach on their part, because when people say to them, so what have you been doing for the last 8 years? What I hear over and over again is, well, I've just been home with my kids. I've just
mm-hmm.
been raising my family. And so right there, you've marginalized yourself.
Exactly.
And to be able to say, you know, I have achieved these things. And, you know, and I would even say, okay, you know, the skills I learned in potty training my 4 kids. Honestly, I mean, you know, people are going to listen to that. So
mm-hmm.
they might not want to hear all of the gory details, but I just think that it hasn't changed since I first went out into the workforce, and that
right.
to me is very discouraging. It's just very discouraging.
Well, it's all about creating a new reality, a new perspective,
right.
and we've talked about this before. It's branding yourself in a way that makes you viable.
Right.
And so
exactly.
when people come to you and say, you know, what have you done for the last 4 years? If you could say, hey, I've been a lead volunteer and such, then all of a sudden
right.
it brings a completely different perspective that you've been using
right.
your skill set in a way to help others, which I think gives a completely different perspective than just saying, you know, I stayed home
right.
with my kids. Well, anyways, Jan, we've got about 10 seconds here, so I just want
okay.
to wish you a great week. Looking forward to next
thank
week's
you.
Show.
You
and,
too.
And another awesome guest you have brought in. So thank you so much, and have yourself a wonderful, wonderful week.
You too. Thanks. Bye, everybody.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, that's today's BLT, Business, Life, Transitions. You can contact Brian at bbasilico@me.com and Jan at jan.highgainco@gmail.com. Join us again next week for some more great insight about your business, your life, and your transitions. Till next time, thanks for tuning in.